Mike Heike from the Dallas Morning News, beat reporter for the Dallas Stars. Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
This all seems like a dream to me.
Do you know who shot JR?
Yeah, the girl, what's her name? Crosby. What was her character's name?
Oof, beats me, man. So it was Crosby. Majo will find that out. So is the actress's real name was Crosby?
Yeah, like Mary Ellen Crosby or something like that. But she was kind of a bit player, so it was kind of smart on their part.
That's not Lucy, is it?
No, it was like I said, she was a bit player. She was
Kristen, according to Mark.
Kristen,
Majo. Kristen.
Yes. See, they did a good job. Like I said, it was just a smaller part. So getting rid of her was not a big deal for the show. They could just move forward.
Yeah, smart. Now, speaking of getting rid of guys, we'll get to the series in a second. But Goligoski and Demers still aren't signed by Jim Neal. How come?
Well, that's a fine question, and I'll give you two more names to make it even more complicated. Chris Russell and Jordy Benn can also become unrestricted free agents in the summer. Jim Neal said that he has a lot of options. He would like to see how they perform in the playoffs, and that he's fine with this setup. And quite honestly, looking from the outside, he's in pretty good shape. They've got Oduya, they've got Klingberg, they've got Steven Johns, who has stepped up. Essa Lindell is playing really well down in the minors, and they still got Alexiak and Nemeth hanging around. They're carrying 9 defensemen in the playoffs. So a lot's going to be determined on how those 4 guys play in the playoffs.
So you look at the defense, and man, that's 4 of them. Who do you think would be the most likely to re-sign? Which one do you think is the best?
That's a hard question. They all do different things. Lindy Ruff is a big proponent of the lefty-righty thing. If Steven Johns had not played so well this season, I would say that would give Demers a huge advantage. But because now they have Klingberg and Johns and Julius Honka in the minors, all righties, I think then Demers is now on even ground more so with Goligoski. I think in the games that Chris Russell has played, he's played really well. He seems to fit what they want to do. He's a more defensive defenseman. I think they could, use him in the on the second pairing or third pairing better than maybe Goligoski could. I think Goligoski's probably going to demand more money. So it all comes into that. There's a really good chance they let them all go to July 1 and then sort it out and see what the prices are. The biggest issue for me on all of this is where do they fit and how many minutes do they get? Like, if Goligoski's there, does he need to play 22, 23 minutes, which he's done his whole career in Dallas, next to John Klingberg? Or is that too small of a pair? Goligoski's probably 185, Klingberg's maybe 175 to play on the top pair. Does Steven Johns change that? Does Essa Lindell step up? And can he play with John Klingberg next year? Is he too young to be, logging 23 minutes a game? There's a lot of moving parts on the Stars' defense. I think most fans would like to see it get bigger. And if that's the case, then maybe Russell, Goligoski, and Demers are all gone. And they go with either somebody from the outside to add to their young kids or just their young kids.
That's interesting, Mike. You talk about the combination back there and the size being a factor. If it's a hockey decision as opposed to a money decision, and money always plays into it, depending on where you're at the cap, but is this more of a hockey decision for Jim Neal to make?
It's a little of both. Again, I think the biggest question is how much can these kids play and how much can they take? There's another part of this, Robin, in that, okay, let's say you signed Demers for 4 years. Well, Julius Honka's knocking on the door. Does that mean that he's got to wait for 3 or 4 more years to become your third-line right-handed defenseman? Lindell's ready to go. If Goligoski signed for 4 or 5 years at $5 million, are you reducing the impact of Essa Lindell moving forward? I think if you're just talking who is the best defenseman performance-wise, I think it's Goligoski. I think he's the guy who's been there every game. He's the guy who, generally speaking, makes the fewest mistakes. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who they trust the most to play the most minutes. But again, with his resume and his, like, if you're a big advanced guy, his advanced numbers are fantastic. his Corsi numbers, his whatever, SAT, if you go by the NHL stats. He's one of the better players in the NHL in possessing the puck and keeping it in the offensive zone. And so now you're talking 4 years at $5 million, 5 years at $5 million, 5 years at $5.5 million, and then you have to really take a hard gulp and say, is that what we want to give to Alex Goligoski?
Yeah.
How's Russell played since coming over?
He has been sick and hurt, but in the games that he's played, he's been great. So, you know, it's a hard read on him right now. He is, and I hate to say this because he's such a good competitor and such a good guy, but he is tiny. Like, I didn't know he was that small. He's maybe 5'10", 170 pounds, and that's small. And then when you add him to Klingberg and Goligoski, it's a small defense when those guys are out there. But he is a great competitor. He reads the game extremely well. He is a great shot blocker. He finds his way in front of a lot of shots. And then the team as a whole has become better at blocking shots since he's joined them. So I don't know if it's contagious or they're just watching him or whatever. But he's been an effective player. And if he could just stay in the lineup, I think they'd be, you know, really happy with him.
Mike, turning to the series now, one headline I'm staring at, and you know better than I, looks like Dallas goes with Niemi in game four as opposed to Lehtinen. One, the top question I had about Dallas going into the playoffs, and maybe a lot of other people too, was the goaltending, how they would be used. Why Niemi tonight?
It's what they've been doing, and I think people who are outside of this and looking at how a normal team functions are shocked by it. I mean, the longest stretch that Antti Niemi has sat out is 4 games. The longest stretch that Kari Lehtinen has sat out is 5 games. They just go back and forth. The last 8 games of the regular season, it was every other game they switched. And it's just who they are and what they've been doing, and they have – I was talking to a couple of players today, Oduya and Jamie Benn, and it's like they don't even know. They don't, you know, they don't. Even, they know that there's somebody different back there, but they don't change their game style. They just they're used to both of them. They're, you know, it's just normal for them to say, okay, our goalie's this guy this night, our goalie's that guy that night. And I know that's weird, especially in the playoffs, but that's kind of who they are this year.
Well, and they're not the only team. I think it's 5 teams now out of 16 that are on their second goaltender in this postseason. So very few teams have what we deem a guaranteed number one. When you look at all the numbers, I don't know if you've crunched them or not, Mike. Is the team, because I noticed their save percentage record's pretty much identical. Do they play at all different with one guy or the other?
No, they're almost identical.
Okay.
And it's funny that like, I mean, there are traits on each of them. I mean, Kari is a more talented, athletic goalie. He's a little bit bigger, but he's also, with Jeff Reese in his first year as a goalie coach, he's playing deeper in his net now. But he controls his rebounds better. He could probably get beat high a little bit more. Antti is more scrambly, and he doesn't control his rebounds as well, but he finds a way to stop the puck. And so Kari's like a textbook goalie, and Antti's like a kind of make-it-up-as-he-goes goalie. So you do see that in their personalities, but the team itself plays pretty much exactly the same in front of them.
Mike, you know, the other story going in, Tyler Seguin's health, it makes all the sense in the world to have him sit out and make sure he's completely healed, especially when you lead a series. He won't be in tonight. Are we to the point where we might be talking game five, or is it just iffy for the whole series at this point?
We're left to speculate. And we can do that. I don't have a problem with that. And they basically ask us to do it by not telling us anything. But he did not skate in Dallas, as near as we can tell, yesterday or today. He is, quote-unquote, resting. So my guess would be Game 5 is out. I just don't know how you recover from that, one. And two, if they're having second guesses about playing him in Game 2. And you know, they won't tell us what it is. They say it's not the Achilles. It's related to the Achilles, so that maybe he was either guarding it, he was adjusting it, maybe somebody whacked at the back of his leg. I don't know. But they're basically saying this is not a re-injuring of the same injury, but an injury close to that injury.
Does that hold water with you, Mike?
Yes, it does, actually.
Okay.
Because here's the deal. He was skating great in practice. And, of course, he was bugging Lindy every day. His quote before he went in game two is, look, I've said I've been ready for the last 4 days. And so we're just like, yeah, we know. You've been telling us. And so he goes in, and all of a sudden, about the middle of the game, he doesn't look so good. And I think what happened is he was skating all over in practice feeling, you know, hey, this is great. This is easy. And then he stepped into a revved-up game two of a playoff series and found out, maybe this is a little harder than I thought it was going to be. He got pushed around. He got banged around. He may have twisted it somehow, like he was battling for a puck in the corner and kind of came out of one turn and just kind of hobbled a little bit and then went to the bench and came back later and played. His minutes were significantly dropped in the third period, but it was a 2-1 game, and we thought that was because Lindy just was scared to play him. So I don't know. I mean, it does hold water that he really could have tweaked something else, but then he also could have tweaked the same thing. You're just left to guess here. All I know is my gut feeling is that they would like to sit him for a while. If they can afford to sit him, and, you know, especially if they could try and win the series in 5 games, I mean, that's what I think Stars fans would like, and they could just rest everybody and get a little bit of rest before the second round, that'd be great. I could be wrong on this. I'm just, again, this is all speculation. I think they might be scared to put him in if it goes 6 or 7. I mean, the intensity of the series is really ramping up. And to walk in after missing 10, 11 games and play 1 game, then miss 3 or 4 or 2 or 3, that's a lot of intensity to be able to handle. So at this point in time, a Patrick Eves or a Patrick Sharp or a Colton Sevior might even be more effective in the top 6 than a Tyler Seguin is.
Mike, did you ever get a realistic explanation as to why they put him back in?
Yes. Lindy said yesterday, he said, it was my call. I watched him. I thought he was ready. He everything that they did, the doctors declared him medically ready, and then he looked great in practice, and Lindy said, it was my call, and I decided to play him.
Hmm. Yeah, well, and the thing is, as you just said it, the intensity. And so he can look great in practice all he wants. I'm guessing that Stars practice intensity was probably about 60% of what an NHL game was at playoff time.
Well, and exactly, and you know, as much as the Wild, you know, people can sit on the outside and say the Wild look crappy in Game 1 and 2, they were pretty dug in Game 2. They weren't engaged in Game 1, they were engaged in Game 2. And they knew that Sagan was out there, and this is the playoffs, they're going to target guys. And Jamie Benn last game looked pretty bad because I think the Wild said, hey, let's go hit this guy. He's got 5 points in 2 games, let's make it a little tougher on him. And he didn't have a shot on goal in Game 3, and I think a lot of that was because the Wild was saying, let's target this guy and let's make his life a little bit tough. And my guess is they did the same thing to Sagan in Game 2.
Well, Mike, I don't know that Lindy's the kind to sit back there and watch Minnesota take it to his club physically. I would think he wants some pushback in the next game.
Yeah, he said that in the last two. It is funny, though, the way he does it. He says he told him to go have fun. But I think his version of fun is attack, 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 be physical, stand him up at the blue line instead of backing into the zone. You know, it's an aggressive form of fun. And I think you're right. I think, you know, whether that's physicality, whether that's try to score 4 or 5 goals, he wants them to make life a little bit tougher for the Minnesota Wild in Game 4.
Mike, it should be interesting. More interesting, though, will be the signing of the defenseman in Dallas. Just for fun, if you had to pick one of the four, who is the first one that the Stars would want to keep the most of all four?
I'll go with Goligoski. I think the one thing that's interesting about this, and I'm assuming, is I think he might take a hometown discount because he likes it here and he's been here for a while. So if they could get Goligoski at a reasonable number, I think that's a choice they would make.
Mike, great stuff as always. Appreciate your time.
All right, talk to you soon.